this week, January 21st, 2014, on The Digital Story. New mirrorless cameras on the horizon. From the screening room, Douglas Kirkland, storytelling through photography. And on the Nimbelocity Report, mark your stuff. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm so happy to be here with you today, and I have very interesting things to talk about. We're going to start out with gear and some new mirrorless cameras and accessories. That's right, CES wasn't the end of the new gear parade. There's more to come, and I'm going to touch on some of that. And then in the second segment, the screening room, we're going to hang out with Douglas Kirkland for a bit. And he's a legendary photographer. He is the gentleman who got to begin his career by photographing Marilyn Monroe. What a way to start, right? And he has a really nice piece on Lynda right now about storytelling through photography. And we're going to discuss that just a bit and hopefully get you to go over there and take a look at some of Douglas's work. And then the third story, we're going to talk about marking your stuff. That's right. You know, we spend a lot of times accumulating our gear and packing it and using it. But what strategies do we have in case we misplace it so that if it's retrieved by an honest person, you can get it back? But they can't let you know about it if your stuff isn't marked. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then I have some other goodies. I have some goodies that have come in from members of our virtual camera club I want to share with you. So lots of good stuff. Let's get to the top story. So the folks at Fujifilm have been busy. And of course, they make an excellent line of mirrorless cameras, the X series, that uses the X-Trans sensor. Very good stuff. And they've done a nice job in building out their line of lenses. And of course, Fujifilm lenses are outstanding. Great class. So now what they're going to do, January 28th, I believe, is the announcement date, the formal announcement date, is that they have a DSLR type body. Still going to be a mirrorless camera. It's not going to be a DSLR, but you know, it has the familiar hump on top in the center with lots of dials and stuff on top. So it's going to be more traditional looking than their current line of mirrorless cameras. And this is very exciting because just over the last day or so, we're starting to see some leaked pictures of this new camera. And it has a little bit of that Fujifilm retro look to it. But the retro look is more with the dials and things like that. Sort of like what Nikon did with their retro camera. Although the Fujifilm camera isn't as much of a throwback as the Nikon. However, it does look very tactile, if you know what I mean. You know, the nice, you know, I think there's like three metal dials on top, one for exposure compensation, one for ISO, and one for exposure modes. That's just right on top of the camera. And the specs, the rumored specs for it, sound outstanding in terms of ISO performance, in terms of autofocusing speed, in terms of overall speed, startup speed, and so forth. So this is going to be very interesting because I think Fujifilm has done a great job with its current mirrorless cameras, but now they're coming out with a body that I think has a little bit more. It's not big. Don't get me wrong. This is not a big body. It's probably going to be, looks a little bit bigger than, let's say, the OMD series by Olympus, but it's going to feel good in the hand. It's going to have, you know, more of that traditional look and feel. And but yet we'll work with their new lenses and so forth. So we'll learn more about that in just about a week here. And that's going to be fun to see where the price point comes in and how they position it with their existing cameras. But I have to tell you right now, you know, they are very strong in the mirrorless camera space. And I think this is going to help them hold on to that position. And who knows, maybe even expand that a bit. Now, there's a few things that have cropped up in the rumor mill from Olympus lately. And it looks like they're going to have some announcements either at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. We don't have any sort of exact date because Olympus hasn't said yet. And it's mirrorless related also. It looks like we're probably going to see some new glass and probably a new body. So this is kind of fun, you know, because really the OMD EM1, which is their flagship model that's out right now, hasn't been out for that long. And if they're going to add another body to that family, it's going to be very interesting to see what the features might be and how they position it. Just in terms also, if you're thinking about making a purchase, you may, you know, want to just sit tight just for a week or two, just so that you have the benefit of everything that's going on, and then you can make the best buying decision for yourself. So it looks like we're going to have news from Olympus. We're definitely going to have news from Fujifilm. Once the announcements happen officially, then we'll be able to sort it all out and figure out, you know, where do we stand now? What should we be doing? You know, what are our options? So, okay, so that's coming up, and I'm looking forward to it very, very much. Our second segment is from the screening room. This week, we're featuring Douglas Kirkland and his title, Storytelling Through Photography. So I want to tell you a little bit about Douglas Kirkland, and then we'll talk about the title specifically. How would you like it as a young man, just beginning your career in photography? You were handed the assignment to photograph Marilyn Monroe. I mean, that seems like an auspicious start to me. Because, I mean, as we all know, and, you know, Douglas Kirkland is a great storyteller. I'll get to that part in a second. But as we all know that, you know, when you have someone wonderful to work with on the other end of the camera, it's just like anything else. There's an artistic chemistry that happens. You know, magic can be the result. And I think, you know, Douglas's talent combined with Marilyn Monroe's personality and beauty really got things off to a great start. And then he took advantage of it and just continued to have a fantastic career in portrait photography and storytelling. I know that Bruce, one of the co-founders of Lynda.com, has always been a big fan of Douglas Kirkland's work. And they started collaborating, I think it was about 2 years ago, as I recall. And one of the titles that has come out of that collaboration is Douglas Kirkland, Storytelling Through Photography. The piece that you'll see when you go to the screening room, and of course our screening room is lynda.com/thedigitalstory, will be Douglas sort of setting the stage here. And he's photographing a restaurant experience, the food, the people, the environment. And he's talking about how to use his photography to tell the story of this establishment, of the great food that they serve there, and the people who create it, and then how they create this atmosphere so that the visitors, the clients, the patrons, not only do they get to enjoy the food, but they get to enjoy the overall experience. One of the things that he says, even in this setup piece that you're going to see, how he really tries to make each image tell a story into itself. It's not just the series of images to tell the story of this restaurant. It's that he wants each picture to tell the story also. And I think that's fascinating. And so by watching this title, you get to watch Douglas Kirkland work. You get to see his interactions with the people. You get to see, one of the things I really like is that you see them setting up a food shot or something, and then you see the photo, the resulting photo of it. It's interesting how his interpretation by using his camera really sort of makes that image that looked okay when you're looking at the setup look absolutely beautiful when you see the final shot. It's really worth checking this out. This is good stuff. And, you know, this is the digital story. And, you know, always part of the DNA of this site, has been using imagery and words to convey feeling, to tell stories, to share knowledge, all that kind of stuff. And I think listening to someone like Douglas Kirkland really can kind of get it going again, can kind of really get the juices flowing in terms of this and really help you think beyond a picture just being something pretty to look at, but having more meaning. So that's this week's From the Screening Room, Douglas Kirkland, Storytelling Through Photography. Go over to our landing page and take a look at the movie, the overview movie. And then, you know, if you like what you see, you can go ahead and start your 7-day free trial and watch all of Douglas's movies, not to mention all the other hundreds and hundreds of great photography-related titles that are in the training library there, including, of course, I have to say, over 20 by yours truly. All right, so that's this week's Screening Room, Douglas Kirkland, Storytelling Through Photography. The landing page is lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And if you can, go to the show notes and click on the link to go over to the landing page. And that will let the folks at Lynda know that you came from me. Yes, we want that. We want them to know that I told you about this. I don't want other people getting credit for this. This is good stuff. Third segment, the Nimbelocity Report. This week I'm going to talk about marking your stuff. And I don't think I've touched on this for quite a while, actually. You know, and on one level, this is probably very obvious, right? On another level, I'm surprised sometimes about how, you know, we get a little lackadaisical in this area. So I want to just talk about a few strategies for this and just to make sure that you go check your gear in your bag to make sure that you're covered in case you do accidentally leave it behind in a cab or on a shoot or something like that, so that you have a chance of, getting your stuff back, the stuff that you've worked so hard to assemble. One of the approaches is what I call the whole bag approach. In this case, you don't really mark individual items or do anything. You just make sure that in your camera bag somewhere, you know, you have your contact information clearly visible. Along with your name, which I think is a good idea, you also want your cell phone number and your email so that someone can contact you right away. And I did this. I'll never forget the Chinese restaurant in San Francisco. I was having a meeting with a coworker and we were having dinner. And I had, at that time, I think it was my Canon G9. And I had it in sort of its own pouch. That was kind of my street camera at that time. And, sometimes, the G9, if you know this camera, it's not exactly a pocket camera. So it's a little big. And sometimes even when I have it hanging off my belt or whatever in the Low Pro pouch, it gets a little bulky. So I would take it off and, set it on a table or set it on a chair. Well, I did that. And then I walked out without it. And I'm about, in San Francisco, I don't drive. I just use transportation or walk. So I was probably about two blocks away from the restaurant and my cell phone is ringing. And sure enough, it's someone from the restaurant and they're calling me to let me know that I had left my camera behind. Now, how were they able to call me? In the camera case, front and center, easy to see, I have my business card and I have the cell phone number handwritten on my business card so that whoever found my camera could call me right away. Not call my home phone or my studio phone, but my cell phone, because that's the phone that I have on me when I'm out and about. So I march back to the Chinese restaurant, and I have to say, my step was pretty quick going back. and sheepishly retrieve my camera. But I was very thankful to them, not only because they were honest and, you know, they let me know right away, but because they actually took the effort to, you know, instead of just putting it in a lost and found box or whatever and waiting for me to try to figure out that I had left it there, they were, you know, as we say, very active in the sense that they found my information, called me so I could come and get it right away. And I was very thankful to them. And I go back and eat at that restaurant often when I'm in the city. So that's, you know, that's sort of the mark your whole bag approach, which is, I don't have everything marked within the bag, but I make sure if I leave the bag behind, there's information there so people can contact me. Now, another approach is to label it all. And I know some photographers like to do this, where each item, each lens, each camera has a label on it. And I personally don't do this. I did for a while. I tried it for a while. In all honesty, I had a hard time keeping up with it, and I also just didn't like the way it looked. But, you know, everyone's a little different in this. Now, the thing that I'm going to say, though, is it just doesn't, just don't put your name on the lens, like your 70 to 200. Don't put your name on it. I mean, that's great if whoever finds it knows who you are, but chances are, you know, very good, like the Chinese restaurant, they're not going to know who you are. So you need to have some way to contact. So I think, really, instead of putting your name on every lens and camera body, put your cell phone number, right? Just put a phone number there. They don't have to know your name. They can just call you and say, this number is on this lens that you left in my restaurant. Are you the owner? You know, so that you can go back and get it. Now, the thing that I don't think you should do, and I don't see very many people fooling around with this anymore. It was popular a while back, but not so much anymore, which is engrave on your cameras and your lenses. I do not think that's a good idea. I call this serial numbers yes, engraving no. So your lens has already been engraved with a serial number. So you make sure that you have all of your serial numbers cataloged in a safe place for all of your gear. Now, for instance, with my Canon gear, I'm a member of Canon Professional Services, so I have all of my equipment logged in with them, and so that I can refer to it at any time. I can generate a report if something happens, and I can hand it over to the police as part of the report, all that kind of stuff. So the engraving that should happen has already happened when you get the item, which is a serial number. Mark all of those down and keep track of them, keep them in a safe place. The reason why I don't like any engraving beyond that, because it lowers the value of the lens. It depreciates the lens or the camera's body, because who wants to buy something that's engraved, right? No one, I mean, I don't want to buy something that says, you know, Stuart Smith on it or has his email address. If they find, if someone finds it, if I lose it, they find it, they're going to return it to the steward and not to me. So, that's no good. Don't do that. Don't engrave. Don't do anything to your gear that, you know, would prohibit you being able to sell it for top dollar when it's time to move that gear on to get something new. So serial numbers, yes. Keep track of them. Engraving, no. Camera manufacturers already engraved for you, but do get that organized where you have all that information available to you, including on the road, right? Including on the road, because you may have to file a police report while you're somewhere else. So you want to be able to have that information available to you. So just a little reminder about, you know, marking your stuff. Make sure that, you know, there's a lot of honest people out there. It's amazing to me that, you know, I don't have any numbers. I don't have percentages. I just know from personal experience, there are a lot of honest people out there who have helped me when I've been an idiot and left something behind. Give them a chance to help you by making sure that you have contact information with your camera gear. I want to do a little virtual camera club news right now, and I've got a couple fun items to cover before we get to the stuff that photo assignment and so forth. You know, I get things in the mail from people and from members of our audience, and I really appreciate it. And I just want to mention two that have really tickled me that have come in right around the holidays. And the first one is from Phil Clark. So, Phil, if you're listening, you know, I'm holding your letter here. And I'm just going to read you what Phil has to say and tell you a little bit about it. So he sent me this 5x7 Red River card that he created. It's beautiful. It has a snow scene on it. And then you open it up inside and it says, Merry Christmas and have a great 2014. And there's also this note in here along with, and this is really cool, a Starbucks gift card. You know, anyone that listens to podcasts knows I love coffee and knows that I spend a lot of time in Starbucks. He was thoughtful enough to include a Starbucks card. And he said, just a quick note of thanks for the podcast and all of your efforts towards education. I've been listening to the podcast for a couple years. I got about 4 months behind during the summer, though now I have caught up. This year, I was a bit more of a theoretical photographer. I wasn't able to get out and shoot very much or take classes or workshops. Work and health sort of got in the way, but hopefully 2014 will be better. Well, I hope 2014 will certainly be better for you. This card, which is this Red River card that I have here, was my first attempt at a custom card, thanks to you and Red River Paper, and I should note also inspired by Martin Bailey, who also advocates printing. Thanks again, and enjoy the coffee. Well, the card is lovely. I just think it's just absolutely beautiful. And the Starbucks card is much appreciated, as is the note. So thank you so much, Phil. You know, I just wanted to mention this on the air because when it's always a surprise when something like this shows up in the mail. And when something so thoughtful shows up, even more of a delightful surprise. So thanks a lot, Phil. Now, I have another one here that I wanted to talk about. This one also tickled me. And this is from Sean Staples. And Sean sent me a calendar that he made, Best of Texas. It's a beautiful calendar. He made it through Apple's calendar service. And he also included a note here that I just wanted to mention. Thanks for another year of podcast and everything else. This year's calendar is a retrospect of our time in Texas as we prepare to return home to New York. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And this calendar is very cool, very well done. And again, Sean has been, I know, an active member of our virtual camera club for a long time. And for him to send me this copy of the calendar, which, by the way, will be hanging in the studio. It's going to be, I have it in the galley area above the printer. Yes, I have a printer in my galley in the studio. It's a studio. It's not a home, right? So it'll be hanging in there, and I just appreciate it. And, you know, part of what I like both about Phil's note and Sean's note is not only, you know, did they send me gifts, which I always enjoy. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I love that stuff. But they sent me their work. You know, they have applied their work to, in Phil's case, a lovely custom art card. In Sean's case, a beautiful calendar. And, you know, for me, as an educator, as someone who, you know, loves talking about this stuff and advocating that people, you know, express their talents through photography, it just makes my heart sing. So thanks to you both. And thanks to, you know, the others have sent stuff. And just know that when something shows up, I look at it and I enjoy it and I appreciate it. Okay, let's see here. Oh, hey, the photo assignment for January is white. It's white and you have till the end of the month to get your photo assignment in. There's an attachment, an email attachment. If you need more information about how to do that, just go to the member area of thedigitalstory.com and it'll explain it all out to you there. And each month, one person is selected as the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month. And that's sponsored by Sizzle Picks at sizzlepicks.com, S-I-Z-Z-L-P-I-X. And as you know, if you've ever listened to my podcast, that these things are absolutely beautiful. And I'm just thrilled that one lucky person each month will get their image sizzled, as we like to say. And what does that mean? That means that your image will be infused onto polished aluminum, and you will be able to hang it on the wall for all to admire. Sizzlepix.com, S-I-Z-Z-L-P-I-X. And they also have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Now, also, I want to mention a little bit about workshops. It looks like I think I'm going to close the door on the Fine Art Workshop, which is our next one coming up. On the Fine Art Workshops, on the hands-on workshops, I don't like the groups to get too big, so because I want them to have a great experience. So I think the Fine Art Workshop is closed right now. If you really had your heart set on it and you were just procrastinating, you can go ahead and drop me a line and we'll take a look at things. But I think for the most part now, the next that you hear about Fine Art Workshop is us reporting on it and telling you about the great imagery that we're creating and printing. And we're going to be printing that stuff, by the way, on Red River paper. I'm going to have all sorts of good surfaces here, and we're going to be printing out black and white and HDR. And, you know, Red River is sponsor of this podcast, but they also really help with the workshops. And I love the workshops where we get to print. And I love having all this Red River paper out for people to look at the different surfaces and see how they feel in their hands. It's just beautiful stuff. And, you know, Red River, they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And they have a beautiful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And, you know, they sponsor the podcast and the workshops. And I just think they're terrific. They save all of us money because they make the paper and they sell the paper and they try to pass those savings on to you. So big thanks to them. And then the San Francisco street shooting workshop, I'm in the process of getting the registration forms out. I do it in waves because we have so many people on the reserve list for that one. If I sent them all out at once and a certain percentage of them all signed up, I would have way too big of a workshop. So what I'm doing right now is I'm sending them out in waves. So some of you should have already received yours. We have a number of signups already. And then some are still to go. And I just give each wave, you know, about a week to have the opportunity to sign up. And then after that, then I send out the next wave. There's a possibility that I may do a second iteration of that workshop. We're doing it again next year for sure. So if you don't get to go to the May version this year, there'll be next year. And there may even be a second workshop this year. We're going to see how it all shakes out once the workshop fills up and I see how many people are left on the reserve list, and we'll go from there. So if you're interested in that workshop, just stay tuned, and I'm working on it. Just know that behind the scenes, we're working on it. We're just being very methodical about it because we don't want anyone to be disappointed, and we don't want to overbook this event. Okay, what else here? Oh, last thing I want to mention, the Artisan Cheese Festival, March 21 through 23. If you're interested in working that, make sure you send me an email, derek@thedigitalstory.com. And last but not least, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click. You can tell it's the end of the podcast. Please click on the respective ad tile under the products header. That's the box halfway down the second column on thedigitalstory.com. That helps support our site. Okay, that's going to do it for me. Douglas Kirkland, I'm telling you, storytelling through photography, you've got to check that out in the screening room. Get your stuff marked, and let's see what happens with those announcements. I think we're going to have some fun here in about a week or two. All right, until then, come back next week. I've got some great stories on tap, and we'll get together then. Bye-bye now.
your questions and comments. Email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.